I'm really hungry and it smells like fried food.
It's all the food outside.
I know. I'm really hungry.
Well, you could eat after this.
Yeah, I feel like...
oatmeal if you want some.
No, I know. I don't want oatmeal. Good Lord.
Healthy food on a podcast where healthy? We talk about health?
I put
health?
Peanut butter and blueberries in it.
See, yeah, that's still healthy.
Yeah, it's tasty.
Yeah, I bet that's tasty.
Dash of salt.
I feel also like we've started a couple... like far too many podcasts this year where we're talking about food.
I think that you continue to bring up that you're needing coffee.
Yeah, well, we record early in the morning. That's I do true. Need coffee.
Yeah,
well, yeah, I need coffee.
There's coffee at the desk.
Stop giving me options and answers. I just want it now.
It's my new lifestyle of walking every morning and meditating that I'm like just with it. Or maybe my brain has been working an hour earlier than normal.
So. Yeah, that's probably it. My brain's still working on the slow drudge it normally works on. Little gears grinding slowly, gunk in between them.
Well, maybe this will be the year to clean that gunk out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go gunk free.
Gunk free 2020.
I like it. Hello, welcome everyone to Podcast for Good. It is season 4, episode 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes.
I like that you can count.
Thank
one
you.
Podcast. Two podcasts.
I also like that you can count. See what I mean there? Yeah, because you're the count.
Do you like my count voice?
Yes, I do. This is great. I enjoyed that very much.
Continue, sorry.
Today, we are going to talk the uninsured and the underinsured.
Yes.
Jarek and I interviewed Jamie Lund, the co-founder and board member for Health and Hope Medical Outreach, and we talked about what it means to be uninsured and underinsured in our state, and all the kind of costs and barriers that people are seeing.
Yeah.
And it was really a very great interview, and we'll definitely get into
that. It was really... eye-opening, because what I really enjoy about talking with Jamie was when he talked about Health and Hope Medical Outreach, I just appreciate what they're doing. Like, they're really trying to get health and back into the community in a way that is eliminating the barriers that can stop from someone from going. I mean, I have family members that don't live in this state, but that live in other states that I would, like, talking to him, it's like, how can I find someone like them to be able to help my own family as well? Because I think, you know, there's so many people, especially when he talks about underinsured, which I'll let him explain. I think that term is really telling about what other barriers. So we got to stop using this idea of, oh, well, everybody's insured. What does that mean? Because being underinsured doesn't mean that that's going to help you necessarily with those costs that are creating that barrier.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, it's like the concept of insured versus uninsured, underinsured, and that it's similar to being employed and underemployed, or like having food or being malnourished, but also, you know, having food, right? Like they're kind of like that similar thing. Like, sure, you have this thing, but you don't have enough for what your needs are. Your needs aren't being met.
Yeah.
So, before we get into the interview with Jamie, I have a question of the podcast for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, we both work for the state, and we are both covered insurance-wise, but, do you, Jerrica Ferguson, avoid going to the doctor because of costs?
I will say I don't anymore.
Okay.
Because that is actually something I've tried for the past couple of years, to be better at, because I was the person, actually even working for the state, not every position has cost of coverage. So I actually was on the ACA when I first started state government in the position I was, because they didn't cover costs or medical costs, which, to be honest with you, it was like, wait, you don't? You know, like, I'm working for the state. It was a temporary position, but during that time I got injured. And I thought, well, you know, I am covered. And yes, the cost, there was parts of it that was covered, but I did have to pay a pretty high deductible that I didn't realize. Because when I thought I was insured, I thought that coverage was covered. But after that kind of experience and then moving into the position I'm in, knowing that now I do have medical benefits, I have really taken the point of, I need to do this for me. Similar to what Jamie does talk about, where, you know, why wait? Or, well, his explanation was the infection, right? That's only going to get worse if you don't get that treatment.
Yeah.
For me, I had various sprained ankles or hurt shoulders. And so for me, it was one of those, why do I have to continue to live in pain? So, you know, I think the times I do avoid going to the doctor because of cost today is really like a cold.
Okay.
It tends to be something where I'm like, well, I'll just take a few days off from work.
Sure.
Try, you know, I'll go to the grocery store, grab all the
medical,
over-the-counter medical, yeah, you know, things I can do. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think of, well, maybe my cough or cold could have been taken care of a little bit faster if I just went to the doctor. But
sure,
I'll be honest, I think a lot of times it's not the cost, but it's trying to get into the doctor.
Yeah.
That I have a lot of issue with where I try and schedule appointment, and the closest one is 2 months away, and it's like I call and I'm like, is there anything closer? I don't feel well. And it's like, well, we can get you into urgency care, and I'm like, and your doctor may or may not be there.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I find this a bit more frustrating than necessarily the cost.
Yeah, I think for me sometimes it's the cost. It depends on what it is, because, and what time of year it is. Like, it's the beginning of the year now, so all of the deductibles start over again. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, I've got to plan for that, right? But, yeah, I think more than anything, it is time over money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, sure, if I call up my doctor and say, I need an appointment, okay, when can you get me in there? And how long do I physically have to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Can I afford my time not to be at work?
Yeah.
Or sit in a waiting room for 2 hours or like however long the appointment is, that kind of a thing.
I will actually add, I'm going to go back to the cost, because I was thinking about this as a medical emergency cost. I will say that I've avoided, I would say, healthcare is also wellness and mental care as well.
Yeah.
I've avoided costs due to maybe seeking, you know, whether it's the therapy or just taking a stress class or those kind of things,
mm-hmm,
because I see that there's a cost.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, at the state, we do have things like EAP, which I definitely have used and appreciated using. But I do say that, you know, you only get so many.
Yeah.
Now, you can go back, and they have a great program, and I definitely would say seek those out. But I will say it's one of those, well, once you get to that step of, well, let's actually get you somebody full-time or whatever that may be.
A provider.
Let's get you a class. Those sometimes, if you're trying to seek something on your own and maybe you work for a company that doesn't provide those, it can be really difficult, because, you know, I've been denied a few different, you know, trying to seek care because they're not taking on new patients.
Sure, yeah.
And I can see that being overwhelming for somebody that just is seeking help. And so I think those type of costs where it's a cost that maybe you have to spend gas to finally get somebody that you know that's out of your county, that you, it may be still a free doctor, but you have to, you know,
get transportation
there. And so I will say that there has been limitations for me for cost. I just looked at that as a medical infection,
like,
or
more of an emergency,
I need x-rays or blood drawn, those kind of things. But
costs are a little too much.
Cost can be a lot, and I think it's really unfortunate that there can be that barrier, but I really do appreciate organizations like the one that we spoke with, Health and Hope Medical Outreach, that is there to provide people that are uninsured or underinsured for Lewis and South Thurston County.
Yeah. So, with that, we're going to kick it right over to the interview with Jamie Lund, co-founder and board member of Health and Hope Medical Outreach. Here's that interview. Okay, we're here with Jamie Lund, co-founder and board member for Health and Hope Medical Outreach. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a privilege to be here.
So, can you give us a little history about Health and Hope Medical Outreach and what your organization does for the community?
Sure. It's a free clinic, and it is for middle and low-income folks who don't have access to health care. The idea sprung from some doctors who would go overseas and do medical missions in other places and everything, and then they would drive home through their own community in Lewis County and recognize that there's people right here who need things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Why buy a plane ticket to go meet people's needs when you can do it in your own hometown?
Yeah.
And so they set out to put together Health and Hope Medical Outreach, which is essentially a matchmaking service between medical professionals and volunteers who really want to help people in their community, and those folks in the community who need access to urgent care and have a high deductible or have no health insurance, no access to that kind of care. Mm-hmm. And every Tuesday night for over 6 years now, we have been offering these services to the community.
Okay, and then is there, you said you're in Lewis County, correct?
Yes, Lewis County, Southern Thurston County.
Okay, do you serve people from any county? Or?
No, those are the regions that we're limited to. Okay. There are clinics like ours in other locations and everything, mm-hmm. and this is a spot where we're drawing from.
Okay.
What ages do you serve?
Well, we serve any age, but one of the prerequisites is that somebody not already have health insurance, mm-hmm. and you find in Washington State that children generally are well covered by insurance. Mm-hmm. The state has a very generous provision for them. So on occasion, we'll see children, but not as often. Likewise, people who might be on Medicare, mm-hmm. Medicaid have mm-hmm. some coverage as well. So generally, it's the working folks who maybe are new on their job, haven't got benefits to kick in, or who are on a couple of part-time jobs and don't have it. So that's generally who we're serving.
Could you actually speak about the people that are on the majority of uninsured or underinsured in our state and community? What are you kind of mentioned there, that working folk, but mm-hmm. what are the type of people that you encounter?
You know, it is people who would have maybe employment that doesn't make as much provision. We noticed once the Affordable Care Act went into play, for instance, that people had insurance technically, but if you've got, you know, an $8,000 deductible on your insurance plan, it's a lot like not having insurance.
Yeah.
And for somebody who is trying to decide, should I make rent or should I go get this infection taken care of, which hasn't been solved in 2 weeks, you know, those are the folks that we're really after. So, and that's generally who we are seeing. We do see a good number of Hispanic families mm-hmm. or folks who would be coming in as well. Again, folks who might have multiple jobs or who might change jobs often enough to not really establish a medical provider mm-hmm. of continuity. And so we'll see them as well because travel overseas to help people meet people's needs. And so why not do that in our own community?
Yeah, absolutely. So can you talk about what being underinsured in our state looks like for the people that you're seeing?
Well, and that's the term that we coined to go for those high deductible health insurance plans. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of our thinking. And I think it's a $6,000 limit on that. And really, honestly, for the first visit, we don't ask any questions. We don't expect anybody to have any documentation of what their mm-hmm. income is or their insurance is or anything. You know, if somebody's coming back regularly trying to get services, we'll start to ask, okay, well, can you show us a little bit about why we haven't got this figured out in another way? Because we certainly have other people. There have been times when we've had to turn people away, and you don't want to be serving somebody who might already have coverage or might already mm-hmm. have provision in their life and turn away somebody who doesn't. So we do owe it to those who support what we're doing to make sure that we're serving who we say we're serving.
Could you actually explain for people that may not know what underinsured, I know you kind of talked about it, but could you maybe go in a little bit more detail?
Okay, underinsured by our written definition is if you have a large deductible of $4,000 a person or more.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have insurance but your deductible is that large and mm-hmm. your income is in the range that we're talking about, and the range we're talking about is double the poverty level, which for a family of four would be a little over $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now, Lewis County median income is way below that, so that's nearly everybody.
Yeah.
So then it just becomes a question of, you know, what's the level of your insurance coverage. And
that makes sense. Yeah. How many people can you serve?
You know, it's surprisingly labor intensive to do mm-hmm. this, and we have over 100 volunteers who are regularly working with us, and since we've founded, we've put in over 30,000 volunteer hours, and that's about a third of those are medical folks, and mm-hmm. two-thirds of them would be some other form of administrative or just helping folks out. And on a Tuesday night, it takes about 20 to 25 volunteers, and we would see anywhere from 15 to 25 patients on a Tuesday night. And it varies with the seasons mm-hmm. and with how things are going as far as the health situation in the community and everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and over time, we have actually provided care for, let's see, our grand total The total number of visits is the 4,153. The total unique people is 1,594.
Okay. Yeah.
And a lot of times when somebody comes in for something, we ask them, come back in 2 weeks and let us do the follow-up
of course.
Whatever, let you know what your lab's up is. So we do see people more than once, but it's a surprisingly large number of folks who find themselves in a situation where they need this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of doctor visits, you kind of talked about people delay because of cost. So what kind of impact does that have on their health?
You know, it really does a great service to the community to get these things nipped in the bud, as they say, the stitch in time that saves nine, or however you want to describe that. Well, somebody who's got an ongoing infection or somebody who's got an ongoing health issue, eventually they're going to end up in the emergency room.
Yeah.
And without the insurance, without the deductible, everybody pays for that.
Right.
And it has grown in our society that people assume the emergency room is kind of like just where you go when you got a problem. And we really do see this as incredibly valuable to take the pressure off that, because they really don't need that. If you've got an infection, you need to see a doctor who can properly prescribe it, rule out other, you know, frightening possibilities, and then get you your antibiotics that you might need, which you got to have a prescription for.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to the doctor visit, Health and Hope will actually provide the medicine as well. We'll cover the cost of that. And we work deals with various providers of other services, referrals and otherwise. So we get folks needs met for next to nothing, and or we can wait until they've got a real problem and head into the emergency room and cost all of society thousands of dollars for an emergency room visit.
Well,
do you think it's one of those things where people don't want to come to a service like yours because they're afraid that they're going to get turned away, or and then just go to the emergency room because they're thinking, yeah, I'm supposed to do this instead?
We definitely rely heavily on word of mouth.
Okay.
People who have nearly everybody, and I volunteer in the clinic as well, and everybody that I ask, well, how did you hear about us? It's almost always that they heard about it from somebody else.
Okay.
Because everybody knows somebody who's in need, and if you've got a friend or a relative who's got a medical issue, you go, you know what you ought to try. And so that has helped a lot. And I think we're probably a safer, more discreet venue than the emergency room because We're a mission. It's not going to matter. There's no insurance to be billed. There's no money to change hands. There's nothing like that. And so our records are what's necessary for the patient care, but we don't have to handle any of the rest of it. So it actually is a more friendly environment than anything anybody's done. And that's one of the things that's fun about the clinic. We ask the clients to fill out a survey at the end of it. Everybody's delighted because we've got 24 volunteers helping 15 to 20 patients.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've seen a number of people. Everybody is there for free, motivated to be there because of their desire and their passion to help the community. So it's not like 15-minute blocks of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like anything anybody's ever experienced in the medical context.
Yeah.
And in fact, for the doctors, it's the same thing. If you're a practicing doctor and you've got a bill and you've got to handle insurance and you've got to decide what's covered and what's not and set your 15-minute increments and everything, these doctors come here, or we take interns that are on their residency programs or physician's assistants, and they get to do the medicine that they thought they were going to do before they went to medical school. It's like, hey, there's a person who needs something, and I get to spend as long with them as I need to. I get to address whatever I want to. I can, you know, be concerned about things that maybe aren't popular, but I can, you know, express some concerns about their own life changes that might improve their health. And so the doctors really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so really for everybody all around, it's pleasant, pleasant, pleasant. And we have churches that bring us meals. So because we start at 5:30, it's difficult to get volunteers if you're coming straight from work to a volunteer opportunity.
Sure.
So we put a little potluck together, basically.
Nice.
And everybody chills out and enjoys a meal together. And so it's a team effort that's really, really warm. And that spreads to how the clients are treated and how they feel about how things have gone.
Nice.
That's really welcoming.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
So prior to our recording, I went to Washington Health Plan Finder to see what kind of plans were out there if I myself didn't have any coverage. And what I found was the lowest annual deductible was $1,000, but I'd be paying $431 a month.
Right.
So that's obviously a barrier for me if I didn't have coverage from work. Do you think costs like that, like deductibles and monthly plans, do you think they're going to get lower in the future? Or?
You know, I don't know. I mean, certainly the quality of care continues to go up throughout the health system, and certainly the market is adapting to figure out what needs to be done. You're seeing more of the urgent care. I just heard yesterday about a place here in Thurston County that's actually doing urgent care home visits.
Oh, okay.
You know, where you can, for a set fee, go and do that, bill it to your insurance and everything, which, again, we're sort of figuring out, let's not spend the $2,000 in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Let's spend the $200 to pay, you know, a PA or somebody to come to the house and to do something. So,
yeah.
The world keeps changing in medicine, and even in the time that we started before the Affordable Care Act, and then we saw how that affected things, and there was a great demand before, and then afterwards people sort of thought they had insurance, and what we found that meant, and emergency rooms were confirming this, was they had insurance, but they had the high deductible, but they were just heading into the emergency room. So emergency room visits were actually up significantly during the Affordable Care Act years, and now I don't know what's going on in the emergency rooms, but I see our utilization level is going up again, and I don't know whether that's the market or whether that's just people's awareness of who we are and what we do.
But
when you actually see patients, you kind of touched a little bit about this. We've been talking a lot on cost, barriers that they report. You said you do this survey, so. Why have they not sought medical care prior coming to Health and Hope Medical Outreach? What is kind of this kind of similar things you keep seeing?
Well, difficult because everybody's case is really different. A lot of it is mobility. People are moving around for jobs, or they're changing jobs, or however that's going on in their lives. And I imagine they've probably found a way to get things dealt with before and maybe paid a cost for it. But generally what happens at this income level is people just sort of cross their fingers and hope it goes away. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, it does. But we're also seeing people who might have ongoing unmanaged diabetes, for instance, or other health conditions that end up displaying symptoms, where you end up with infections or you end up with, you know, dizziness or nausea or whatever that makes it difficult for you to work. And we are doing quite a bit now in the area of helping folks manage those bigger issues. Mm-hmm. And we now offer a diabetes education class on a weekly basis because we're seeing enough people that's really the core of their thing.
Yeah.
And so we'll set up this class and they'll come and they'll go through a series of trainings about what's going on. And that's gone really well. And the doctors, again, with this comfortable environment, you can say, you know what we've got that would really help you, and before you come back, I want you to at least stop out and see this class.
Mm-hmm.
And folks may be coming to, you know, get renewals on prescriptions. Mm-hmm. They may already know about it, and that also happens where somebody has got a problem, they've moved to the area, they've got a prescription, they don't have a provider or primary care provider, and so we will be able to help them with that because it is an urgent need if you run out of a prescription that you need for management of something.
Yeah. So do you see that diabetes is a large factor in Lewis County, or do you know kind of what kind of bigger health concerns are facing Lewis residents?
Well, I mean, diabetes is a big one in all of society.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has to do with diet, and has to do with health and exercise and some of those things. And that's where a lot of our clients are coming in. But there were other things, too, the usual that you would expect, the hypertension, a lot of people just with even stress-related things that we're seeing. And we do, in addition to the urgent care that we're able to provide and the class on diabetes, which we think is just part of the broader spectrum of care, we also are able to do referrals to specialists on various things, which is nice because even with dental is a fairly, anybody who's got a health issue, more likely than not, has a dental issue as well, but that's even a lower priority. But we're in a position where we can provide some screening and we can provide a clearinghouse. So we have a big Rolodex of folks who are willing to take referrals from us.
That's
you couldn't walk into this office and say, hey, I need a physical therapist because I can't afford it, and they would all help because they don't have the time to do the vetting, they don't have the record or any of that. But come see our doctor, we can make a referral. And then we can get somebody physical therapy, or we can get them some of those things that you would really have a difficult time accessing, or even dental care.
That really brings the whole community together.
And yeah, it
sounds
it does.
Exactly what you're trying to do is it's not just your clinic, but you're really utilizing what different professions are within your community.
Absolutely.
And being able to see what people people's needs are firsthand that may be too scared to go to the doctor. I think it's wonderful that you guys have such the ability of outreach there.
And the other way that we're able to do it, which is, you know, a little more, I don't know, maybe less friendly, but we have a great executive director who negotiates these terms with the hospital. What are you going to charge us to do an x-ray for one of our clients? What mm-hmm. are you going to charge us to do lab work for the various lab companies? Who's going to give us prescriptions at a rate that our clients and that we can afford because we're covering the cost of those? And so those are things where the investment that we make in building those connections, mm-hmm. here's who we are, here's what we're about, here's who we serve, here's our credibility, now give us the rate that all of this would deserve.
Yeah.
And so we're able to stretch our dollars a lot farther mm-hmm. because we're making those investments in the connections on the provider side, as well as the referrals that we yeah. would do to specialists for different areas.
That's great.
So you talked about hospitals and specialists. Are they people that you're working within Lewis County? Or are you having to refer people further out?
I don't know whether we do referrals further out. It's likely that we mm-hmm. have some in Thurston County that we would do, but generally speaking, it's Lewis County. And I don't know who does our lab work, but sometimes those are big companies elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
yeah. Doing that sort of a thing, or even reading x-rays or things like that. It can be anywhere nowadays. So, but generally the access point is through our local providers. We have the hospital in Centralia, Providence, and mm-hmm. we've got... of course, the various pharmacies that are there.
Yeah. How are those costs, by the way? Like, any kind of prescription costs? Are people really not going out of their way to, like, get a prescription filled because it's too high for them, or...?
Well, we cover the cost of prescriptions for our clients.
Yeah.
And so... We want our dollars to stretch farther. You know, if there's an $80 version and a $70 version and a $6 version, uh-huh. guess what? We're going to, you know, finagle and get the same thing for the $6 because... Yeah. We want those dollars stretched to the next client that might be coming through the door.
So, let's say that someone hears this podcast and wants to begin giving to Health and Hope Medical Outreach. Can you talk a bit about what donations do for your organization?
Sure. And we're a nonprofit 501c3, mm-hmm. and so we're established. We are in the combined fund drive, and we have a charity code number there, and we can be looked up on that, or it'll be posted with the podcast. But donations for us, we are ridiculously lean because the work that's being done is donated. The location that we are doing the work in is a donated facility of Northwest Pediatrics. And so we don't have to pay for our facility. We don't have to pay for doctors and nurses and physical assistants and pharmacists and all of the rest of that. So we have a little bit of costs related to just the administration of things, making sure the follow-up is done. We send labs out. How do we get in touch with the people to let them know? Mm-hmm. We want a paid person doing that so that that gets handled professionally. And so we have a person that handles that sort of thing. But by and large, it's medicine, it's lab work, it's the outreach that's necessary to let folks know about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We make appearances at the various partners, health fairs and mm-hmm. things like that. And so those are the kinds of things that our dollar goes. But for the most part, we're talking about a very, very lean organization. It doesn't take a lot of money to do this. And we've been very blessed. Our community recognizes it and has been generous with us. And, you know, so that's what the donation does.
Yeah.
It makes it possible for us to give somebody medicine.
Right. You're Absolutely. Covering those costs that someone that just couldn't afford to do it because of the barriers that
It would be a shame to spend a half hour with a doctor to get the right prescription and then to have somebody go home and throw it away because they can't afford $19 or even $80 if that's what we're paying for.
Right. Thank you. Yeah.
So do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight before we go?
Our annual fundraiser is a great event. It's a train ride in the countryside.
Nice.
And okay. So there's a steam train down in Chehalis, and each year we have put together a trip out, and then heavy hors d'oeuvres, you know, a little bit to eat, and then there's a little bit of drama that goes with it. The train's been robbed on occasion, and so
that's awesome.
So that's a fun event that we do, and. You know, we're looking at other things. The other event that we've done each year, we've been really, really fortunate to have the help of the Vogtberg family. They do a Christmas concert. They're a fiddle champion family. They have a whole bunch of really, really wonderful kids and, you know, young adults now who put on a great Christmas show. And they do four, five, or six shows each Christmas season, and we get part of the proceeds from that because they do it all gratis, and we're one of the two beneficiaries on that. So those are our two main things that we've got going on. But we're exploring other things. There may be some. We've got something in the works to put a third thing together in the spring.
Okay,
wonderful.
And when do you normally have the train ride?
Train ride is usually the end of July.
Okay,
early August. It's whatever the hottest day of the year is.
That's
figure.
Good call.
Yeah,
we don't want people getting rained on our train.
Yeah, right.
I understand that.
Wonderful. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and telling us all about Health and Hope Medical Outreach and the great work you're doing for the community.
I appreciate the opportunity, and we love to tell people what we're doing. Catch up with us on Facebook or send a note or see our website. And really, if anybody's interested in volunteering, that is one of the things. We're either looking for money or volunteers or patients, right? Those are the three things that basically make it go around. Stop by on a Tuesday night. It's across the street from the hospital at Northwest Pediatrics on Cooks Hill Road. And stop in. And we love to show people what we're doing. And it happens pretty regularly that we're showing folks because they may be interested in volunteering. They may be interested in joining our board or helping us out in some way.
Yeah.
And we're very proud of what we do. And there's, you know, it's a fun, warm environment. So we welcome you to stop out and visit us.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, that was our interview with Jamie. Fantastic stuff they do.
Yeah.
So something that I did, and I mentioned it in the podcast, was I went on to Washington Health Plan Finder to find what kind of plans would fit me with my income and my age and my location. And like I said on the interview, the cheapest deductible plan I could find was $1,000. But that was the outlier.
Right.
Most of the deductibles are $5,000 or more annually. The highest one for an individual was $8,150.
Like, do you just have to, like, do you know, you might not know this answer. Is it because you have to, you make more money or you...
It could be.
Or that you
make
less
money? Yeah, it could be like
or?
That I make enough money to not qualify me for a lower paying plan, right? But, like, I looked at this one and, like, all of the monthly costs are all, every single one is $300. Yeah. One's $295.44.
Well, you mentioned the podcast earlier, it was $431.
And yeah, exactly.
That is a lot to ask
a month
for something that I would say I think a lot of people, and here's again is that barrier is, am I going to spend $431 for
every
this
month?
Thing that I may or may not use?
Exactly.
Which is important to have for my health.
Or do I pay rent? Or my car insurance.
Or there's an emergency bill that just came up.
Yeah, do I feed
and
my kids?
So it's definitely one of those things that I think is really unfortunate that we're in this place where, you know, these plans are important to have. It's important to have health and healthcare, but, you know, money can't be
If you have to pick between one thing that you need and one thing that you need, like, no.
Yeah,
it's not a question when it's something like, I might not need this, I might not break my leg, I might not get a cold, but I have to have a roof over my head.
Right. But it is, and that's the thing, though, it's a tough decision to make because health is keeping you alive, right?
Yeah.
And so that is a tough thing to choose between.
Yeah, so, like, if your deductible is $8,000 for a year, I would never get care, ever, if that was my deductible.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what the struggle is for a lot of people, but a lot of people do utilize that because they know how important health is.
Yeah, and like even that $1,000 deductible, I still would be really hesitant myself to just be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna go to the
doctor. I mean, technically, you pay for it.
No,
it's just through your salary. You know what I mean?
No, like, like my deductible as a state employee through work and then because of Smart Health is $125.
Right, for the deductible.
Not $1,000. So right. I have a definitely an easier time paying that $125 than $1,000. Yeah. If it was $1,000,
yeah,
I could tell you, I would be coming to work sick all the time.
Yeah. And I think that's what's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have some upcoming events. Well Fed, Well Read.
Yes, that's between April 1st and 15th. Well Fed, Well Read is in Spokane in Thurston County. We're looking to get into other counties next year. But what it is food and book collections happen between the 1st and 15th at agencies that want to participate. And it's a really cool drive for food and book collection for different nonprofits that are assisting in that program.
Yeah, so That is always a well-received kind of promotion that we get to partake in. After that, we move into May, where we get into some PSRW Public Service Recognition Week events. Mm-hmm. We will definitely have a booth at PSRW that will be on the Capitol campus, on the East Campus, that big, huge lawn across from the Capitol. Mm-hmm. But there are a few other events that are happening that week.
I believe the Mariners game is in May, mm-hmm. Which is awesome. And
then in May, we also will be, because of PSRW, it's kind of like our unofficial kickoff, but our official kickoff really for the year is the Leadership Breakfast.
Yeah, which is super exciting. That we're going to be doing it in Lacey, Washington, at SPSCC. This is really one of the most fun events that I really enjoy.
Yeah, so that's on May 7th. So we'll be sending out promotions for that in the future. We're hoping to see a lot of leadership in the room along with campaign leaders. So we'll see how that goes. But we're looking forward to it. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. Hope to see you next time.